This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Welcome to The On-Call Room.
A Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Okay, also, Bree, how did we ever decide that, like, I say, hello, welcome to The On-Call Room?
I think the reason that started was when we were recording in real life, or I'm sorry, this is real life.
Oh.
When we were...
This is not real life.
When we were recording in person, you would be looking at your computer and it would be like...
I would hit the button.
Okay. But sometimes you would let me do it because you'd like finger gun me like, all right, your turn. So...
I miss finger gunning you. That sounds disgusting. I'm so sorry. I miss you.
Yeah, I think we can just stick with I miss you. But I mean, if you want to say you miss finger gunning me, that's fine too.
I also want to do a little quick shout. Well, first of all, this is a Grey's Anatomy podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, we go through each and deep dive each episode of Grey's. We're kind of in a weird interim season until the new year where we are talking about the current season on air. So if you want to go back and listen to seasons 1 through 10, they are all available to you on anywhere you listen to podcasts. And then once the new year starts, we'll be starting season 11. So, but this is just for fun. It's the holidays. We wanted to change it up a little bit. So also our Patreon, we have a great Patreon page and benefits. Again, those will resume in the new year. So if you like want to talk about the current season and all of your friends are like, please stop talking about Grey's, you can join our Facebook group. It is the On-Call Room Listener Squad. And you can do that by becoming a $2 patron at patreon.com/theoncallroom. It's great. I love our group and I love our live conversations when the episode is airing. It's my favorite.
It's so wonderful. I also love that we're going to be resuming like once a month. We do a Zoom call. Y'all know what Zoom is after 2020. We were the OG people starting it. But we get together with our $10 patrons once a month and we just like kind of chat about what's going on, and it's been really, really fun. It was really fun during quarantine. I felt like, you know, all of us getting together and just shooting the shit about how life was really weird. So that's a really fun benefit that you get as a $10 patron that will start in the new year.
Also, if you're caught up with all the episodes and you want more and you've never been a patron, if you become one for $5 a month, you get like over a year, maybe 2 years worth of bonus episodes.
Some's really great. So, here's the thing. If you loved the Donna story, there is a bonus episode where we go and see Cheryl pretty much.
I forgot about Cheryl. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like a true crime episode, but not at all, because there is literally... Brie was just picking up her mail. But it's really fun. There's also like a bunch of... There's some Harry Potter themed episodes. There is one where we talk about middle school. Just weird stuff.
There's one where we read our fan fiction. Or wait, that might actually be for everyone. Maybe you've heard that one. Maybe if you want more content like that.
No, I think it's... I feel like that's a Patreon-only episode. I can't believe we'd put our real fan fiction out for everyone, would we?
Maybe we wanted everyone to hear it.
I'm trying to remember, too. Did we actually release that really old podcast episode of us that we recorded before the On-Call Room existed?
I think we did. Hope to God not. That was not great.
I think we did, but not to everyone. So, like, you have to pay to get it. But it is... I should take it down.
Yeah, it's not great.
But before I do, you can find it somewhere.
Yeah. We've grown. We've grown since then.
Patreon.com. Yes, we have. Patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can also follow us on Instagram at @theoncallroompod. Again, we'll resume all normal things in the new year. Like to pretend that the world will go back to normal, even though it won't totally, but at least the podcast will.
Yeah.
So Okay, what was I saying before this started? We were going to talk about
the episode.
Oh, I wanted to shout out to one of our patrons and friends. Her name is Sarah. She sent us the cutest little gift. It was these little friendship pins that say "You're my person," and there's a Christina one and a Meredith
so
one.
Cute.
And I wanted to thank Bree.
Oh.
I for sure was like, Bree's going to want the Christina one. And also like even our tattoo, like Christina's hair is Bree's hair. And then I did a poll on the Instagram and it was overwhelmingly that Bree should get Christina, which sort of offends me because I think that that means you all like her more than
me. Oh my
God. And I was hoping for like a 50-50 vote, but it was like 80-20. And then Bree was like, oh, you can have it. And so all of that was for nothing. And I looked really selfish and rude, but you are so kind.
Oh, well, I thought you were going to thank Sarah for the pins, which thank you, Sarah. Very kind of you.
Oh, no, I am. But, and then I'm also thanking you.
Well, that was very kind of you, but like, no big deal. You're welcome. It's like, this is a relationship and we give and we take. You know, maybe we just like, sometimes you get Christina and sometimes I get Christina. And like,
that's what our moderator Jade said, that we need to have a shared custody. And I kind of like that idea. Like, whoever needs the Christina energy,
yeah,
we can trade.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on.
And whoever needs the mayor energy,
I'm going to put it on my backpack, I decided. So, you know, whenever like I need like Christina energy for school, you know, or maybe I need to pull back, be a little more mayor, a little more dark and twisty. So, yeah. But you're welcome, Abby. It's not even a thing, you know? You're just, whatever you need, I am here to provide because I am a 2 on the Enneagram.
I have a 2 wing. I laugh thinking about like the pin on, like, when they're separated, they just kind of look like little doctors. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, people are going to be like, you are not an Asian doctor.
Oh, right. But they'd be like, yeah, but I am obsessed with Grey's Anatomy and clearly you are not.
And then they'll get it. Exactly.
You know, this is like kind of random, but John texted me the other day, yesterday, he had this interview thing with work, whatever. It doesn't really matter. What he did say though was I name dropped you and it ended up being about something about what I'm studying in school. And he like talked about it. But when he said that, I was like, I thought you meant like you name drop like the podcast. So I thought he was like telling these people like, there's this really great podcast. Turns out he does not want people to know about our podcast.
But yet he pays $10 a month to be a patron.
So funny to me because that's gonna need to go away when we get married because that literally just means that I'm paying myself. That doesn't make any sense. Like,
well,
Jake's not
you're
doing.
Paying me $4. You're paying me $4 and you $6.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
You're losing a...
At all. Because if that's the case, then Jake should put in and we should call it a wash.
I kind of like that I'm secretly getting money from you.
I know. I know you do. And it's that's why I deserve the Christina pin.
Oh, no. This is good.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, also, fine. When you get married, you can get rid of that expense. I just ask that you donate it to another Patreon.
You can't tell me where to put my money. I also just need to tell everyone before we get into the episode that I am done with my semester. I have submitted all of my stuff 2 days ago. I have class tonight, but I don't have to do anything for it because I already did my presentation. So I can probably turn off my camera and like eat food and like
you should get wasted.
Yeah, I might just drink wine while I do it. Like, who fucking cares? And because I don't have to participate.
You should like boo people and like applaud them. Just get really drunk and be like, no, boo.
The thing is like this, in this class, I get, this is one of just the classes kidding. In my program that I get evaluated about like, where are they at? Like, do they need to be more professional in this way? Like, you know, whatever. And wouldn't it be so funny if I did so well the whole semester and then I got drunk my last day and was just like, fuck you. And like failed the class because of it. So funny.
Or not even fuck you, but just like, fuck yeah.
Like, right.
Just like really.
Okay.
Brianna here to report.
My name's Brianna and I love what you're doing for your group project. Y'all are doing great. Yeah.
I think it'd be fun.
I'm not going to do that, but I am really happy that I'm done with my semester. I feel like you, Abby, where like you're done with a thing, but like you don't know how to come down from that thing. Cause like,
Nope.
It takes like a week. I literally, so we had stuff to do for the podcast And I literally got it all done because I was still in the mode of like, well, I got shit to do. So I might as well, that's all done. Schoolwork's done. So I might as well work on all the podcast stuff.
Yeah, I reaped that benefit.
Yeah.
From that. When you texted me that, I was like, oh, that's so amazing.
Just because I'm like, wigging out over here.
I'm also only productive on days when I have a lot to do. Like today, I had a doctor's appointment this morning. It was virtual, but still, like I had to get up for that. We're recording the podcast. These are all ridiculous things. I get my eyebrows waxed, but then I have like a couple virtual photo sessions. And somehow I've also like scheduled in, like, I'm going to deliver these cookies here. I have to make a return on something. I'm going to go work. Like, I was like, why don't I do all these things on the day when I have nothing to do? But it's like, once you're, it's like, if you're like, all right, today has to be productive.
Today's the day.
Then I like thrive on those days. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to, because I don't have any schoolwork. Like wanted to not do anything today because I still have the day off of work and I just have class tonight. But instead, similarly, I had to wake up and I had therapy and then we have to record the podcast. Yep. And then I have to go grocery shopping because we literally have no food in the house. And all I want to do is take a nap, but I don't think that's going to happen today.
We've been door dashing a lot lately. And when I get, I'm like, oh, well, the order's not that expensive. But then it's like the fee, the this, the tip. And I'm like, oh, I just spent $40 at Qdoba. Dude, like, why didn't I drive 10 minutes?
Dude, same.
And go get
like,
it.
Like, I get Kitchen 67 like it's my job because they have a really good gluten-free burger bun thing. And it ends up being like $45 every time I do it. I'm like, this is a shitty burger.
And you're eating it at home, not even getting the restaurant experience.
No, I know. It's so silly that we do that. But also, it's cold. I don't want to leave my house.
I can't even say, too, that I'm, like, supporting local because a lot of times my orders are, like, Chipotle and Qdoba, which, I mean, it's a local franchise, but...
But what you can say is that you're supporting someone working who has...
The DoorDashers.
I mean, like the DoorDashers. You're supporting like the people delivering the food and you're tipping them and stuff. So
I'm still supporting the man, capitalism. anyways. Okay, so thars are untrue.
There we go.
I also just want to say last thing, especially to our listeners that are familiar with the Enneagram, because we do talk about it sometimes. Hopefully my mom doesn't listen to this. She won't. I only have home videos from 1991 to 1993. And that's like the only years my parents apparently thought it was worth videotaping. And I had those all digitized. And then I took an edible the other night and I got extremely focused, which was great. And I sat down at my computer at like 8:30 at night and stayed up till 2 a.m., crafting a feature-length film of my life. Complete, like, I went through every home video, cut out the stupid parts, like, kept some of the audio, got rid of some, added music, transitions.
Wow.
Like, it's honestly, I feel proud of it because now I have 2 years of my life in, like, a 36-minute film, you know? But anyways, I found so many signs of me as a child being like my brother steps onto the boat. He's like younger than me. And he like jumps onto the boat. And my mom's like, good job, Trevor. And then you see me go like, I can do it too. Look, I did it, mom. Aww. Like, oh, look, I did it just as good. We both did the same thing. Aww. And then there's one where, I like am crying because, well, the best thing, I guess this isn't Enneagram one. This is just funny about me being a fun sponge, I guess. I like love the beach now. I love swimming. Like I don't care about sand on my toes, all these things. There is a whole year of my life where at the beach, I am wearing socks and tennis shoes. And my parents are like, Abby, go in the water. And I'm like, my favorite is I don't say like, I go, I just don't want to right now. And they're like, but it's fun. And I go, I know, but I don't want to. And I'm so proud of my little 2.5-year-old conviction that I'm like, I know that it's cool to go in the water, but I'm going to act like I just don't want to.
Oh.
And I was clearly like, it's very funny. I'm the same.
Don't you ever look at like, or think about yourself as a child and like childhood wounds? Yeah. And like, it almost doesn't feel like you, like you're like, oh, you poor sweet thing. Like if I could see you now, I would wrap you in my arms and I would just like tell you all the things you need to hear so you wouldn't be in therapy at 30 years old fucking dealing with this
and
shit.
And then you realize that that actually is you.
Yeah. And you're like,
those are so deeply embedded in, I wish I could, I've never seen home videos of you. I would love to see little Brie.
It's funny because most of the home videos are of my two sisters like dancing. And then at the bottom of the screen, you just see half the top of my head bopping through with super curly hair. And like, that's the videos of me, just the top of my head. Boo. They all called me Boo Bear. Like Boo going through. Aww. And you know, that's probably why.
Well, they're older, so they were doing...
I joined the theater.
That's probably you are.
Because someone pay attention to me.
That's like, there's videos of me and my friend Casey, who I didn't have sisters, but she was like pretty much one. She's younger than me. And I'm like performing a song, like Rudolph. I was like three, she's two. Mm-hmm. And she like steps in front of the camera and you just hear, Casey, move. From her parents. Because I'm performing.
It's shit like that. And it's just going to stay forever, like with Casey. Yeah, I'm sure she has like a bunch of fucking shit about like you and like you performing and her being kicked out of the way.
And for sure, like I'm going to backwards do this where if I have kids, I'm going to be like, you are good enough. Everything you do is good enough. You don't need to try that hard. And then they're just going to be like lazy and not do anything. They're going to have no motivation. They will just like...
they'll live with you.
Freeloaders.
Literally live with you until you die. And they'll take over your house. Yep. They'll never move out. Yeah.
Yeah. So it just, you know, it's a cycle. But I had to share that. Also... yeah, will you find your home videos? I'd like to learn more about child
Brie. Yeah, I just had one more question. Does your mom know that you digitized them?
She knows that I put them on DVDs. Okay. First, it was like VHS to DVD, and then I put them onto my computer. She knows I've been watching them, but she has no idea that I like made this.
That's such a good gift.
I think she's gonna cry.
I think so too. That's really, really sweet.
I just hope she doesn't cry as in like, oh my God, I've ruined you and your brother.
Oh yeah, that's always like really hard to like go back on and be like, God, this is embarrassing.
Also, like we're watching it with both my parents who they're divorced, but like amicably, like they're friends. Like this weekend we're doing a family Christmas for my brother. And so, but like, we're going to watch it together and they're both going to be like, oh wow, look, we were married.
Yeah, that's going to be
and it's
very
also like, I don't know if they were happy also, you know what I mean? Like it was like a rough time. And so I tried to edit it though. Like if there was like parts where they sound super sarcastic to each other, I took the audio out and played happy music.
Oh, that's kind of thoughtful.
I just hope they don't think I'm trying to parent trap them. Because like it's fine. I also am gonna start to be like, I have a surprise gift. I am not pregnant. Cause I could easily see how like in the beginning of this, they might be like at the end the video would be like, and now I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be like chugging wine before I show it so that they know for sure I'm not. Cause they could be very disappointed if at the end I'm not pregnant.
Just smoking a ton of cigarettes and drinking wine and being like, I am absolutely not pregnant.
Not. Because I'm true. Like, that is going to, I'm going to say that's the first thing. Like, hi, I have a gift. We have to watch it on TV. I am not pregnant. Do not get your hopes up.
Yeah, that's probably good. Also, tell them you're also not parent trapping them.
Yeah, both those things. There's just a lot of, there should be like a disclaimer in the video, like on VHSs when it's like, do not copy this VHS. It should be like, these are the things that are not happening right now.
Are you going to videotape your family watching the video that you created?
No, because then for sure they're going to think I'm pregnant.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that. I mean, maybe I'll do it on like Instagram stories for like my close friends.
Yeah. That's really thoughtful. That's a sweet gift. I want to do that for my parents some year. My mom. I don't think my dad would care, but my mom would care.
Okay, we're back. The dog was barking at the mailman who brought him his dog food. He should be more thankful.
Oh, you get your dog food delivered? How nice is that?
Yeah, we probably should support a small business, but it just comes in like a day and there's coupons.
I mean... yeah, I just want to say, like, you support a lot of small businesses and local things. We can only do so much that we can do, and we're all trying.
I spend so much money at Rebel that it is ridiculous.
Same. And also, I spend so much money at Terra Bagel. Shout out to Terra Bagel.
Oh, true. Oh, same. Half my paycheck goes there. Mm-hmm. I was there. Jake and I both went there this weekend separately without knowing that we were there within like a half hour of each other.
Oh, yeah. Ben told me, who works there, he was like, I see your ticket come up every Friday morning. I was like, yes, indeed. I come every Friday morning.
Amazing. Okay, so we are talking today about season 17, episode 4. This one, oh God, I was going to look up what I had, what it was called. It is called, because it's important and I have a fact about it. It is called Fight the Power. And I thought it was interesting that the title of the song, how it always comes from a title or whatever, is from, wow, I'm really good at podcasts because I took this. Oh, it's from Fight the Power, originally sung by Public Enemy. And they were talking a lot, which we'll talk about, that list of names at the end and how saying someone's name is something that was really brought to light by the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. And I just thought in general, like the song lining up with that was just really...
Yeah.
I just feel like everything was purposeful in this episode, as I think it always is, but especially so in this one. So we're going to read, I'm going to read the monologue. Are we cool with
that? I'm cool.
I just think it's important. So the monologue was done by Bailey, and it says, "My mom used to tell me never to judge people until you know their story. You might think you understand, but you don't. That's why, as a patient, it's important to have an advocate, someone to tell your story, to be your voice, to say your name, especially when you don't have a voice yourself. Patients lose their power when they're referred to as bed number 4 or arm pain guy. Even in their deaths, they are not faceless. They are not nameless. They are more than statistics, more than comorbid conditions or nursing home patients. They are sons, brothers, and uncles who speak 5 languages and run restaurants. Wade Klein, 66. They are great-grandfathers who love Broadway. Jacob Lappin, 92. They are baseball-loving nurses with an easy laugh. Dane Wilson, 45. They are the world's greatest mothers, and they are the most beloved wives. Elena Rose Bailey, 84.
Ugh, so good. So sad.
I know. We're going to talk a lot about, I think, like Bailey's storyline and some things. You found a great article, and then I like scoured Twitter when she was live tweeting. So I don't know. What do you think? What do you think of the episode?
I thought it was really good. I actually rewatched it a day or two ago, just because I find like it's hard to take in these episodes and then like talk about them. It's helpful to rewatch them. And also, because like we watch them live, so we watch them with commercial breaks. It's so much easier to watch a television show without commercial breaks.
Agreed.
Because it feels like it flows better and like you can actually follow what the fuck is going on. I don't know if you feel the same way about that.
I do, but my Hulu also has commercials,
you have
so
Hulu
even
ads.
When I watch it.
Yeah, we don't. We pay for like the no ads, whatever. So
nice.
Really cool. Really, really cool. but yeah, so I rewatched it and it made me very emotional. And there were some certain parts that did. So we can just kind of get into it. I don't know. What were your reactions, your initial response to it?
Yeah. I mean, I only watched it once and I was watching it not with you, but sort of with you on Zoom, which I really enjoyed doing.
Yes.
And I feel I do want to rewatch it now without breaks because I think the breaks take you emotionally out of it a little bit. But I really appreciated the Bailey time, the amount of it, learning about so much about her family and her backstory. And I just feel like it's hard to continue to learn more about a character. And somehow in 17 seasons, we are still learning about Bailey. And that to me is like the sign of a really well-built character and a well-built show that 17 seasons in, you still don't know everything.
Yeah.
And I also really like the storylines they're doing with the new interns. I'm a big fan of the Maggie, like what Maggie's life is like right now. And the conversation her and Bailey had on the bench, I think was just really beautiful.
I thought it was very important.
Yeah, so did I. And we don't get a lot of time with the two of them talking to each other, I feel like. I wanted to point out the writer of this episode. Her name's Zoanne Clark. And I thought it was cool.
Zoanne Clack.
Oh, Clack. Sorry. I can't
no,
read.
No, it's okay.
Zoanne Clack. She said, West Coast, well, she tweeted this, welcome to my favorite scene slash act that I've ever written. Thank you to Chandra and Kelly for coming in prepared and treating it like a wonderful play. It was a joy to watch, even though it was so real for me. And I actually remember when we were watching it, I was like, whoa, that was a long scene.
Very long.
Like in Grey's, there's a lot of cut scenes and like they're short. And I remember even thinking like, how did they memorize all of that? Like, cause it was like, just, it never cut. It was a one long conversation, and to watch their emotions build and like, and how they change throughout that, I thought was like, really, it felt different. We're not used to seeing a scene that long. And I just, it was really powerful to me.
And seeing a scene that long, like outside of the hospital in like a park,
right?
You know, and just like, there was nothing else to focus on, but just the two of them and what they were saying.
Exactly. Like the dialogue was a character in that scene. There was nothing else to distract you from it, which is why I think it, I mean, I'm sure obviously that was all purposeful, but it was really powerful because usually there's like background people running around or, you know, there's like funny beats of like comedy mixed in something. And I just think it was really beautiful. I also thought something really cool that I've said when we were watching the show, like I really love Maggie's hair in this season. She's rocking like the beautiful cornrows.
Yeah.
And Kelly McCreary tweeted, she said, Maggie's gorgeous cornrows tell the story of a busy surgeon with natural hair in the midst of a pandemic who doesn't have the time or bandwidth to style it every day. They are the work of two brilliant stylists who can be found on Instagram. And then she linked them both, which you can, it's Marge the stylist,
Marge.
And Quanisha Moore. And so I thought it was really like, again, just pointing out how purposeful every decision is that the show is making.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really sad and beautiful when Bailey goes in to talk to Meredith and then they end up like on the beach together, which like we find out that Bailey's mother has Alzheimer's and Bailey didn't tell Meredith because she didn't want to bring up the pain for both Richard and Meredith, like the pain that they felt about Ellis having Alzheimer's. And I just thought like, oh, Bailey's character, like just holding that, carrying that herself because she didn't want Meredith and Richard to feel that pain again. Just this like just shows who Bailey is as a person.
Yeah. And she talked about like how she's has big feelings and her mom used to take her to this tree and said it was her tree and she would like hit it and throw things at it and whatever. And I love that Meredith said to her, I can be your tree.
I know.
And I feel like that speaks to Meredith saying I'm strong enough to handle it.
Yeah.
You know, like you can tell these things to me and also like just that she can be that person for her because I don't know who that person is for Bailey. I feel like she relies so much on herself.
Yeah, I think she leans into Ben a bit.
Ben, but like, oh yeah, good call.
But still, like, Ben's really busy and, like, they're not seeing each other. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if we want to talk, like, much about the storyline. I think it's just important to note that, like, Bailey's mom has COVID and Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And she is brought into the hospital by Ben because the home that Bailey had put them in had like an outbreak of COVID.
Right. Which I think is also important because they live in Seattle. And initially, like, I mean, remember in March, that was like the first, it was like nursing homes in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Like that was like where it started. That's not where it started, but that's where I remember hearing about it initially.
Yeah.
So I think she said in an interview, like it made sense. Like we had to do that. Like that was reality. Yeah. And her mom also has, like we talked about the dementia. So it's just like a mix of things. And I think seeing her dad break down when he was trying to talk to the mom was really sad, like over Zoom, which is the reality for so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then like Bailey calming her mom down by singing.
By singing.
Was really, really beautiful. And then, I mean, we'll get to kind of the end. The ending scene, and I'll probably talk about it more a little bit, but one of the parts that got me that I got really emotional is Richard started singing along with Bailey, which is just like, he's like ever present and ever supportive of like all of these other doctors and like women in his life. And like, I'll help you through this. And like, to mm-hmm. be in the back of the room, like quietly singing, I thought was a really beautiful scene.
Also, he had to sing to Adele when she was,
yeah.
when stressed out, my funny Valentine. And so I think it's just another good full circle thing with the two of them, mm-hmm. you know?
I never thought about that. Yeah, that's a good call.
Also, Bailey tweeted that because she was the way she did her live tweet with Twitter was weird. Like, instead of like tweeting about what was happening in the show, she just responded to everyone's tweets. She responded to like a billion. And it's so sweet and kind. Someone asked her what her favorite episode to film was. And the musical episode was one of them.
Okay. So this is funny to me because, you know, so the scene where Amelia is going to leave the house and go to the hospital. And she's like, I've pumped. Like, you know, mm-hmm. Zola needs to do her homework. And she's like listing all these things. And she's like, what am I forgetting? And Link says, to breathe. I literally felt like a song was going to start there. And I think maybe it's because Bailey had just been singing. And I was like, oh, we're going into another musical episode. It didn't happen.
It would have been a great transition right there.
Yeah, but I felt like it would have been like 2 a.m. and she calls me. It's like, oh no, here we go.
That's
again.
Such a good... Link would pull out a guitar.
Yeah. Yeah. The writers decided
I can already see it. Amelia would be singing and Link would be playing the guitar. Like it would
totally.
They'd be singing a duet of Breathe, but separate from each other.
Oh, totally, totally. Like she'd be in the hospital and he'd be at home, like with Scout. Yeah, playing the guitar.
Oh, that's really brilliant. Yeah, I love hearing Bailey sing though. And also I wonder if Meredith gets better and the show doesn't end, if there will be more. Well, I guess now her mom passed away. I was going to say like more dementia, you know, like I was hoping like maybe they would be able to work on something like that together now again, because they both have been affected by mm-hmm. it and it's like out in the open. I don't know. I just was.
Did you read that article with Chandra Wilson about Grey's Anatomy ending, and she was pretty much like, it's not ending.
Yeah, she said, I feel like I did read, I thought I quoted it, but I didn't quote that exact one. But yeah, she, you know, she says, that is the $1 million question. I always say, until the wheels come off, I'll be there. I think there have been so many versions of when the show would end and how the show will end that there isn't a version at this point. I keep showing up when they call me and tell me that we're doing another one. I would love to see the end of her. I would love to see the completion of that arc, not only as a character, but with the show. But everything is dictated by story, as always. But what a great story to be able to tell that I was a starter and a finisher. That's a very cool story. I don't think, like, I have very strong faith that, like, she will not be killed off.
No. Well, and I think, too, like, and you don't have this exact quote, but she was, you know, quoted saying something like, do we really want the last story of Grace to be about COVID?
Right.
And she's like, no, not really, but we'll just have to see what happens. So I don't know. Like, part of me just feels like... these are such good episodes. I feel like, let's just wrap it up. Like, let's leave it.
Agreed.
On this really powerful season. Because I feel
it also has to give...
I feel like Grey's ebbs and flows. Like, there are some seasons, like, some of those seasons, like, what, 13 or 14, where it was like, what the fuck is going on in these seasons? Like, this is really bad. And I just don't want it to get to that place again.
Yeah, I agree. I also wonder, though, I'm, like, trying to have hope that, like, okay... they found a good rhythm. Maybe there could be another good season. Like me wanting it to end because this one's good and I don't want it to get bad again. I'm wondering if maybe I should just have more faith that like
it could be.
They've realized what fans want.
Also, too, though, I just don't know how we're gonna podcast for this many seasons.
No, we're gonna have to come up with a new format. Yeah,
it's never gonna end. We're gonna be like 45 years old and be like, oh, Grey's Anatomy's still going on.
Right. There's also, before we get off the topic of Bailey's mom, I just wanted to say that part of the conversation with her and Maggie, because remember Maggie's mom passed away as well, mm-hmm. and Maggie was able to be at her side, but Maggie also like pushed her into all of these trials and like she she did everything possible medical to keep her alive. And I said, I loved that Maggie tells Bailey that choosing palliative care is respectful of her mother. She wishes she'd given her own mother the same dignity. And I thought that was really interesting and a really beautiful piece of advice for her to give at that point. Because I think Bailey needed to know that. Mm-hmm. And also there was just, I think it was important that Bailey talked about the feeling too of like, she just doesn't want her mom to have Alzheimer's anymore. Like she doesn't, like she's suffering so much. And so I just thought that that was, I think that a lot of caretakers of their parents who are going through something like that, which they say like seeing your parents die twice, essentially, like feel that way and feel guilty about feeling that way when like you shouldn't, you know?
Yeah, I think too, it's important to mention that Bailey doesn't want her mom to die of COVID because she doesn't want her to be just a statistic and like another yes. black or brown woman who has died from this disease. And that's, I don't know if I should, I think that kind of leads into—
Yeah, you can talk
yeah,
about this.
Yeah, about the name. So I thought it was a extremely powerful image at the end of all the names scrolling after the ending mm-hmm. monologue. And so I just kind of looked it up. I was trying to figure out like how they chose those names or whatever, you know? And so I found an article about the person who wrote this episode, Zoen Clack. And she says, the inspiration for saying the names in the final voiceover was multifactorial. When my mom contracted and almost died of COVID, I was so mad that she might go down in history as one of the nameless, faceless ramifications of this disease. I was seeing how it was disproportionately affecting Black Americans, older Americans, and people who lived in assisted living. My mom was all of those. But she was also a teacher who has influenced many successful mm-hmm. lives, and she has an infectious laugh. That was the story I wanted people to remember, not that she was a victim of a pandemic. Fortunately, after a long and hard-fought 7-week battle, she is now a COVID survivor, so she doesn't have to be one among many, but there are so many who are among the many and who deserve to be more than a number or statistic. And then she says, the mom of another one of our writers, Barbara Driscoll, was 97 and fought off numerous other infections and illnesses before she succumbed to COVID within one weekend. I'd be remiss to overlook the death of Brittany Bruno Ringer, the 32-year-old nurse who took care of patient zero at my mom's memory care facility, who worked tirelessly without adequate PPE taking care of my mother and other dementia residents. I watched helplessly as two parents from my caring for parents with Alzheimer's support group died within days of contracting the virus. So then Bailey's list came from these people. Jacob Lappin from the voiceover is a mix of Jack Lappin, the great-grandfather, and Mitchell Lubitz, the lover of Broadway. Wade Klein is Warren Klein, the brother of one of the on-set medical producers on the show who also happens to be a nurse. And Dane Wilson is Diane Wilson, an ICU nurse in Paris that passed away during the first surge in Europe, which I think is really cool that they took these names and they like created them based off of real people in the monologue. and then finally, this list, she says, Clack has a website called Medscape, and it's in memoriam healthcare workers who died of COVID-19, and anyone can submit the names of colleagues, friends, and family members to be remembered. As of July 1st, the list included more than 1,800 names from 64 countries, ranging from 20 to 99. The last update was December 3rd, so no telling how many names are on it now. The final inspiration came from, one, the powerful article in the New York Times that named the 100,000 lives we had lost to COVID.
I remember that.
And two, the Black Lives Matter movement, where protesters held up the names of Black lives that are now resting in power. Silence is compliance became a battle call for me, and the framing of the episode was my reaction. It is my small contribution to lived lives full of substance not being forgotten. So I just thought that was a really powerful article.
Yeah, and what a way for this writer to take her experience, and I feel like not all of us have the ability to take our experiences and make them into something bigger than they are. And like for her to put so much so much of herself into this episode, I just think it's a really a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And I'm really, I hope she's proud of herself because I think her episode did touch a lot of people and it definitely like made it just, you look at the news and that ticker of numbers mm-hmm. and like it's, you, it is very easy to numb out and not realize that those are humans.
Yeah.
Even like Jake and I joked, the one time we like actually felt like the numbers made some sense was when we had COVID. We were like, look, that number would only be like, you know, whatever minus two, if it, like we are in that number. And like, I think that it's really a coping mechanism of all of us to sort of numb out a little mm-hmm. bit. And like, it's important to make sure that we are remembering that these are real people.
Yeah. And I think they did a really great job in this episode of like talking about that. And I don't want my loved one to be a statistic.
Right. Right.
And she felt that about her mother. And I think it's interesting too, that like her mother has Alzheimer's. And so like she wrote all of that into this episode, and it was a very vulnerable thing for her to, I imagine, write that episode. So anyway.
Yep. Agreed. I'm trying to think if I have anything, just I'll finish up with my last final tiny things on Bailey. And then we can just talk a little bit about just some of the other things that happened. Another thing that was, someone asked her what episode shocked Chandra Wilson the most. She said the season 6 finale, which is the shooting episode, was the most shocking. She said, what is a relationship she wish had never ended? She says she is roots for J'April.
Oh, wow.
Jackson and April. She said her favorite friendship to play and with Bailey is Callie and her.
Oh, that's great.
Which is cute. And then I loved this. She said, someone asked something about like, are you ever worried people aren't going to like the show or something? And she said, fun fact, we never worry about how a story will be received. When we do that, then we stop putting story first over being liked or disliked.
So good. That like you should, take that as like advice for our own lives, you know?
Oh God, you're right.
Like.
Who cares if people like it?
Who like you or not. Yeah, like. Tell your true story. Be authentic.
Wow, thanks. Bailey teaching.
Oh, God.
Bailey teaching.
Truly.
Okay, that's all I have on that. I just think it was wonderful.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And the last thing I will say too about the story is in the end when Richard like tells Bailey that she has to go in there and pretty much help her mother pass. And like mm-hmm. you would be like very upset and sad with yourself if you miss this moment. And I just think like that's a really important story that Grays also tells about like how we help people pass on to the next part. Whether you believe there's something after death or not, like helping someone die is like and die with dignity is and your parent, like a lot of us are gonna have to help our parents.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's really hard and terrible thinking about death, but I also think it's a privilege to be able to witness someone passing.
Oh yeah. And I mean, with COVID, like it's rare that you get to, that's like the worst part of all of it. So I think I agree with you. Yeah. That was really important. There's actually, someone that I am friends with who lives in LA became a death doula.
Yeah, it's...
So...
I follow this thing, like the order of good and death, and I think that's what it's called. But it's like a nonprofit organization about like educating people on death and like it's...
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. So I thought they did a really nice job with it in the end of the episode.
Yep.
So...
Agreed.
Other things about
And one last thing, I guess, on the COVID front before we get into a couple characters, I thought it was also great. The conversation Jackson had with Richard, when Jackson says that half of their COVID patients are Black or Brown, and in a city that's only 7% Black, it doesn't compute. And I love that he said, you can't blame it on pre-existing conditions as if those aren't man-made as well. The pre-existing condition is existing while Black. And I just applaud Grays for being... I don't know if bold is the right word, but like, I feel like there could be shows that sort of hint at this, but they don't actually just come out and say the truth.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that Grey's Anatomy is just stating the obvious and that it needs to change. So I really was thankful for that conversation. And also like that Jackson and Richard are having it. I'm sure in real life, Black doctors are having those conversations. And I just think like, I'm really thankful for a show that is just straight up spelling it
out. Yes, totally agree.
So, what do you think about Catherine?
What is that about?
I was, Well, I don't know. She just thinks she's invincible, which I think Jackson said, like, she's defeated cancer. She's done this. Like, I think she just thinks that, like,
but she's a doctor.
There's no way. Right. But I think personality sometimes has to trump, you know, like, and Jake wears a mask every time he's out in public. But I will say there are times that I'm like, he wears the same fucking mask all the time. Like, hasn't washed it. It's like, and I'm like, you're an EMT. Like, but I think sometimes people just like,
whatever,
think that they are stronger. You know what I mean? Like they, I think it fits to her. I did think it was, they added comedy by being like, Richard got her to wear one, but it was sexually related. So he couldn't tell Jackson.
Of course. No. Yeah. And I guess too, we just have to like, Catherine's not in these episodes right now. So we do kind of need to reference her, and why not reference her as an anti-masker, I guess. I don't know. And maybe that's to write a storyline of like, that is a thing that people, you know.
Yeah.
It's real. So if anyone I guess you're right, to be an anti-masker, it would probably be Catherine.
Well, and I don't think she's an anti-masker. I think she's just like, whatever, I'm strong. I don't need one. Like, or, you know, she's just careless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe not anti-masker. That's a whole other thing. But she is a very strong, independent woman who has overcome a lot of things, so.
We were watching this on Zoom, I asked, do you think Catherine is an anti-maxer or masker? God, I did it again. And Bree's sister, whose name is Catherine, was there and was like, what? Like, no?
It was really weird. I was like, Catherine, are you an anti-masker? And she was like, what? No. I was like, Abby just asked that. And then I realized it was the Catherine in the show.
Also, I just did it again. I can't say masker. I keep saying maxer and I spell it M-A-X. And I'm like, why doesn't that look right?
Because you're thinking anti-vaxer.
I know, I'm confusing them all. Yeah. So then I also made a note that I just enjoy the new interns and I love the storyline of, I think it's Reza, I think that's his name. He was a vascular surgeon in Pakistan and then he came here to practice, in which he had to completely start over in med school, and how like Schmidt cannot believe like anyone could ever possibly like want to do that. And how it kind of gives Joe the inspiration that starting over or, you know, taking a step backwards doesn't necessarily always mean taking a step backwards. And that, what do you think about her possibly going into OB?
I don't know. I think it's interesting. I mean, I don't know.
She could be an Addie. She could be an Addison.
Well, see, she's not talking about being like a neonatal surgeon or anything. Like, she's talking about being an OBGYN, which is great. Like, but I'm like, is that Joe? And Joe just wants to feel joy again in like watching someone or like give birth, I think made her feel the joy again. But I don't know. We'll see. Part of me was like, are they writing her out of the show? Like, is she, I guess like what type of OBGYN is she doing? You know, is she like a Karina?
Yeah.
Is she like, you know,
I wonder. It would be cool to me if they made her something like what Addison was.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome. But I don't know. Also, I don't understand med school. Like, if she's already an attending like surgeon, can't she just be? I don't know. I don't know. Like, don't you do rounds on like OB?
Yeah, I don't know how you specialize. We're the wrong people to ask.
Yeah, totally wrong. I don't understand.
If you're in the Facebook group, maybe you could explain. That would be helpful if someone knows. I did though like her. Like, I like her. Just, she made the point, like, life is short. You don't know what the fuck's going to happen. Like, I don't want to spend it. I'd rather be happy. Yeah. Like, why have I, you know? She's come a long way, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, I think too, what's her name in real life? Joe.
Camille.
Oh yeah. Luddington. Is that her name? Yeah.
Yes. Camille Luddington.
She like was talking about how it's nice to play a character who is like joyful now. Like, I think too, like,
yes,
Joe has
agreed.
Been like so fucking sad. And I think that would be really hard to play a character like that. I think it's time for Joe to like, she's had a lot of shit happen to her. It's time for her to find something that makes her really happy. And if that means like switching specialties, then good for you, Joe. I think you should do it. I loved you, though, that Schmidt was like, I think you should eat, get a good night's sleep before making any choices. And he's like, oh, my God, I sound like my mother. Like, that's...
Yeah. Yes. He's funny. I like him a lot. I love them as roommates too.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a fun thing. Also
Tom.
I have what?
Oh, I thought we were going to Tom.
Oh, I was gonna say before that. Well, yeah, this is Tom, I guess. Amelia decides that she wants to go back to the hospital because she can't sit back with while Tom is there and not do anything. And she's like blurting out all these things about like, he saved my brain, whatever. And then she's like, and he was the first person I had sex with after Owen. And I really think he healed me. And I like how Link is just like, wait, you had sex with Tom? And then she like leaves.
Yeah. She's like, yeah.
I did. That's going to be an issue. I don't think Link is going to be.
I don't think so either. But funny. It is funny that she's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I had sex with Tom and this is not a big thing. I'm going to go to the hospital.
And he's just like, wait, what? Yeah. I feel like, yeah, if I was a new character on that show and I was like, wait, you've had sex with 18 of these doctors that work here.
Yeah.
So then there's that really great scene. Well, Tom's not doing great. He's like hallucinating. He's talking about his son, which is just like, come on, Grace, quit making me so sad. Mm-hmm. And Teddy has that conversation with him where he's like not responding. He's like sleeping and she wants to believe that, instead of avoiding her, he was just too sick to answer the door. She has hope that they can be friends once he gets better. She doesn't know how they'll get through it, but she knows he won't do it alone and like blah, blah, blah. And then Tom opens his eyes and was like, no, I was avoiding you. And then he heard everything she said. And he makes that joke about like, but I would take a sponge bath right now. Which like he clearly still has feelings for her. I don't know how they could just be friends. I think he's always going to have feelings for her and vice versa.
Yeah.
I also don't think he's going to, I don't know what they're going to do if he's going to survive, if he's going to have complications. Like I'm anxious to see. I feel like we're going to find out this week.
I think so too. It seems like next week we find out that Meredith wakes up. Well, because I think it's important to mention, this was mostly a Bailey episode. Like, Meredith wasn't really in this episode. We saw her at the beach once, and, like, Bailey came in and said she misses Gray.
Right.
And then Owen was barely in this episode. Like, he was in the, I feel like, very quickly, he was like, Teddy, get out of here. Like, I'm going to take care of Tom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was mostly Bailey. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Tom. I hope he's fine. Like, I hope they don't kill him off.
I don't want to see any doctor die, but I also know that they're being very, very purposeful about how they're reflecting real life. And the real reality is that many doctors have passed away. And so I'm nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen.
But relationship wise, I'm not talking about COVID at all. Relationship-wise, I don't know how Tom and Teddy could exist together just as friends.
I don't think, yeah, totally. I think that would be really, really hard for them to do. I don't think I could be Tom and just be friends with Teddy. Like, he clearly loves her.
No.
So.
Right.
That's complicated. So. I wanted to mention a quick thing. We were talking, my sister and I were talking about like, who the fuck is watching Bailey's kids? And then it's mentioned in this episode that Ben's sister is watching their children. And I think it's important to remember Ben's sister is watching the children. And I think it's important to point out that that was a little nugget that Ben's brother transitioned, and because he only had one sibling, and that's now his sister. Do you remember this?
Oh, I did not even know that.
There was an episode about that, about Ben's brother coming in and Ben finding out that his brother was transitioning. And so that was just a little thing that they threw in there.
Did you look that up?
No, Catherine remembered it. She's like, remember how Ben only had one brother and then, and now they just quickly threw in that like, oh, Ben's sister is watching the kids. So I don't know. Well, people could fact check that, but that's... I'm pretty sure that's the same character.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that. I also, we don't watch Station 19, but I caught the tail end of it this week just because it was on. And I didn't realize like Karina's on that show now pretty much.
Yeah.
And she's in a relationship with one of the firefighters.
Yeah, that's a thing too.
I liked how, I just caught the scene when she was like, the other, I don't know any of their names. She came over to like make out with Karina, and Karina was like, clothes off, go take a shower, like from work. And I laughed because I am the same way. Jake comes home from work. I'm like, take your clothes off in the garage and shower, please. Yeah.
Makes sense. I mean,
not because I'm mean, because he works in healthcare. Yeah,
totally.
What if he just worked at an office?
Yeah. What if he worked from home? He like comes out of his room and you're like, clothes off and shower, sir.
If he ever told me to shower, I'd be like,
shut the fuck up, man. I'll shower when I want to shower.
I really should shower though. Yeah. So, well, I'm excited. I'm glad we have one more episode.
I thought this week was the last week. And then it was like next week on Grey's Anatomy. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yep. So we'll be watching one more episode for you, which is perfect timing with the holidays. And then it's actually great too, because we don't get another new episode till March. So we could have season 10 done-ish.
Season 11.
By the time. Yes, season 11. Thank you.
Yeah. By the time we could. So, who knows? Who knows what we're going to do?
Yeah, who knows? So stay safe, friends. And we hope that you are surviving your December. And make sure you join the Facebook group by going to patreon.com/theoncallroom and pledging $2.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's Abby, what do you rate this episode?
I'm rating it a 10.
I think so
this
too.
Whole season is great.
Yeah. I felt really good about it.
Feeling
this
good about it.
Episode. So, do you want to call Time of Death?
Okay. Yes. Time of Death is 1312.
Beep.